given. I know that I don't ever want to overlook the fact that people are faithful and people give and people pay their tithes and people are faithful to the church. I don't ever want to take that for granted. I don't know how long it's been since I've actually preached this section of scripture. I don't know that I have. I don't know. It's brand new to me in a lot of ways. It's definitely a scripture that I've heard preached on. It's scripture that we've all read. And but there's a certain part of this scripture that I believe the Lord laid up on my heart. And I want to talk about that this evening and talk about some other stuff that I believe the Lord would want me to talk about today. So we're in Luke chapter number 18. And if you're doing your one year Bible reading, I hope you're staying caught up, because if you get behind, it's hard to get caught up. So try to stay caught up on your one-year Bible reading, and I hope that when we close out the end of the year, that we've got a lot of people, including myself, that's been able to maintain that. I'm not going by the schedule that we gave out. There's other apps. There's all kinds of stuff. I cheated years ago, and it's been laying on my shelf for a lot of years as well, and I'll pick up, and I'll try to get started on it, and I'll get to about February, and I'll forget where it is for the rest of the year. You know what I'm saying? So right now, I've got a one-year Bible, and I'm trying my very best to stay caught up with it on everything else we're doing. And actually, to be honest with you, I've really enjoyed reading, going back and rereading the book of Genesis, talking about the Lot and everything that's in the book of Genesis, and we just flipped over to Moses in the book of Exodus, and we're starting there. And Moses has already found the burning bush, and he's already hearing God's voice. So there's a lot going on in the scripture. But for tonight, Luke chapter 18, and I'm going to read probably down through verse number 8. Again, Jesus is the one telling this parable, telling this story, if you will, that we can compare ourselves too and understand. So let me read. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man. Look in verse 5. Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Wear the devil out. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect that cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Verse 8. And there's a part of this I want you to really try to pay a particular attention to. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, how this message came to my heart was that last line. Where is your faith? Pray for me. Father, I thank you, God, again today for the word of the Lord. I know, God, today that you're able. I know, God, today that you hear and answer prayer. And I pray tonight, God, as we go through this lesson and through this message, that God, that you would anoint us, oh God, and I've already asked you again today to take us to a different place in this service tonight. Help our faith to be stretched and help our faith to grow. I pray, Father God, that when we leave this place tonight, that God, that as the disciples said, Lord, help our unbelief. Lord, I pray for every person that's in this room. I pray, God, that you'd touch them and help them and minister to them. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank you for praying. When we began to look at this, I guess if I had a title, it would be that, Where is Faith? When I began to look through this, again, reading and researching and studying, again, verse number 8 is the one that actually just kind of jumped off the page to me because of the simple fact that we are living in perilous times. We are living in days and hours that it seems as if the struggle is getting harder and longer. The battle is getting tougher, if I can use that term. And not just in a secular sense, but it seems like it's even in a spiritual sense. Now, some people, they walk on clouds every day, but I'm not one of those people. There have been times in my life that I've had to muster up all the faith that I could get when it comes to putting my faith and my trust in God due to the circumstances and the situations that are around me. Now, I do know that the Bible lets us know, and again, I'm not going to go into a lot of different scriptures that we all know, that's faith scriptures and some of those that we've all quoted for a long, long time. But I do know the Bible says that when faith, those things that we hope for, are seen, it is no longer faith because it's right there in front of us. So we no longer operate by faith. But yet we see when Jesus opens up this text, he begins to teach his disciples and those that was listening to him where that men ought to always to pray and faint not. When we look at these different terminologies and you look at this, I remember reading in the book of Galatians, I didn't look it up again for just the sake of time, but the Bible teaches you and I not to grow weary in well-doing, but in due time you shall reap if you faint not. And when you look at this word faint not or faint, it's actually a word that speaks to us. And it's a word that we understand, and it means to lose heart. It means to be weak of heart, if you will. And I know that sometimes when we talk about faith, I personally, this is me, I haven't never really struggled with faith unto salvation or faith to be saved, because I know what I was when I wasn't saved, and I know what it took for me to be saved, and I remember when I got saved. But there's a lot of things that's happened in my life and your life that's went beyond just a salvation experience, that the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. Every day we walk not by sight, but we walk by putting our faith and our trust and our confidence in Jesus. And Jesus himself talked about faith a whole lot. It's a Greek word, P-I-S-T-I-S. And it is a word that means that it is a firm persuasion. We all have faith, but yet what are we putting our faith in? But this word faith is a word, again, it talks about firm persuasion and trust and fidelity, if you will. And again, it's that word that determines what is believed contrary to what is unbelieved. And again, it's that assurance, the ground of faith, if you will. And one commentary said this, the main elements in faith in its relationship with the invisible God. Now let's get real, let's get practical, let's settle down here a minute, think about this. That you and I, we put our total faith in something that we've never seen, that's never, it's not tangible in the physical sense. You can't put your fingers on it, if you will. But yet we put our absolute, total, 100% trust in the fact of the Word of God, that Jesus is exactly who Jesus says he is. Now, Hebrews 11 actually goes off into that. I'm not going to go there this evening, But yet we see Faith's Hall of Fame, and it talks about by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And even by faith was the world framed. And we see this, but yet one verse in Hebrews, it actually, I do want to mention this, it's Hebrews 11 and 6. Because it gives us a basis of our belief. Because it talks about that, and he says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. So we cannot please God without putting faith in God. Now I know the Bible says that if you say unto this mountain that it'll be removed. And again, I really didn't study that for this particular lesson. But it's an understanding of that you've got to have faith in your life. We've got to have this absolute, as that definition said, firm persuasion that Jesus is who Jesus says he is, and that God is who God says he is. And again, it goes beyond trust. It's an absolute assurance that we know that God is who he says he is. It's a firm conviction. It's a firm conviction, and all this come out of the Vine's Dictionary of the Bible. If you've got one, you can read it. But it says a firm conviction producing a full acknowledgement of God, God's recollection. But in this, we see in this book, the scripture in Hebrews 11 and 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I know the Bible says, and you don't need to turn there, but it says in Romans 12 and 2, that every man has been given the measure of faith. We got faith, but what have we got our faith in? So in this, we went on to say, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When we begin to look at these scriptures, when we open up again Luke chapter number 18, it talks about this individual. And we want to talk about this just for a minute, saying there was in a city a judge. Commentary, this is a parable. It did not identify a city, a country, a place. Jesus, again, teaching a story, a parable for the lesson of these disciples learning what he's trying to teach them. But he said, and there was a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. Two things commentary pointed out right there. First of all, he didn't fear God, and he didn't care what man had to say about him. He just was infidel of the infidels. You know what I mean? So in this is a description of this man. But yet, the next verse says, there was a widow woman, a widow in that culture was a individual most likely different than what our culture is today, probably someone that didn't have much income, somebody that socially the people was required, even in the Old Testament, they were required to take care of the widows. Even Acts chapter number 6, it tells us of where the disciples was there, and the disciples were busy, and they were preaching the word and studying the word and declaring the word and delivering the word, and the people began to murmur among the Grecians, and they got upset because the widows was being neglected and their daily needs was being neglected. So in this, we can see that where there was a widow woman, that this judge, according to commentary, he knew that this was someone that he didn't want it to come back on him in a bad reputation, if you will, that he was neglecting his duty as a judge. Now again, this is all commentary stuff that I read and tried to retain the memory. But he did not want to lose his political hierarchy, if you will, or his status by not taking care of this widow, if you will. And in this, we can see that where this widow came, she came to the judge because she was the one that was able to help her. And she says this, avenge me of my adversary. In the Bible, the Bible lets us know that we have an adversary who is the devil, who goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So we can liken this story to this lady having an adversary who was likened unto Satan. You and I today, we have an adversary, the devil. The Bible says that he goeth about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So we know today that you and I, men, ought to always pray and faint not. Why? We are not to grow weary in well-doing. In due time you shall reap if you faint not. Why? Because Jesus says in the Word, we understand when he was writing this, even though the enemy is going to come, you and I, we cannot lose our faith. We cannot give up on our faith in God, even when the devil comes as a roaring lion. Amen? But in this, we can see this parable of where that there's a commentary that said, oftentimes we see that we don't always get immediate results. It's not one of those things, immediate things. Sometimes we've got to, as this lady in the scripture, she was not only consistent, but she was persistent. And we can't have the attitude, well, God didn't answer prayer today, so God must not care. God, it must be God's will for the enemy to devour me. It must be God's will for the enemy to destroy me. Well, it's not God's will for the enemy to destroy you, but yet the commentary said that this scripture is what Jesus was teaching them, that oftentimes the parable persists, that this widow demonstrates that effective prayer, it requires tenacity and it requires faithfulness to God even in the middle of the trial. The genuine disciple must learn that prayer never gives up on it's based on absolute trust in God. Let me read this part to you. We can fully count on the Lord to answer when, where, and how he chooses. And then we can see where, this parable of this lady, it persists. And we look at this in the scripture until we look a little bit further down, and it talks about of how that she was determined to not give up. Where is our faith this evening? I don't know about you, but there have been times that I'm telling you the truth. And I'm pretty transparent. There have been times that Brother Steve, I've done it. I've talked to you about it. That God, why have you not answered prayer? God, why? Why are we going through what we're going through? God, hear our prayer. God, please hear our prayer. And we use the terminology today in today's society, and it seems like there's crickets. You know what I mean? Just nothing. And it seems like that we have sometimes come to a point in our lives that we want to throw our hands up. Now, I don't know if I'm talking to anybody but me, but it's almost as if we want to just throw our hands up and say, what's the use? I've prayed for years. I've cried for years. I've called out for years. And you know what I'm talking about. We've all done that. But this Bible, the Bible gives us a lesson. She says, avenge us of our adversary. When we look at this, she is in reference again to the unjust judge that regarded not God and he regarded not man. But yet this widow lady, one of the lowest class in society at that time, she got the ear of that unjust judge. Now, let me share with this what it says. Verse 5 says, yet because this widow troubleth me. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but I will want to say it in the redneck term. Is that okay? Your prayers trouble hell. That's the only way I know how to say that. Your prayers to God, when we pray and we are filled with tenacity, when we're determined, you know, we're a danger. We're a threat for the kingdom of darkness. Are y'all okay? And in this, we can see again as the example that Jesus has given here. He said, because of your prayer, because she troubleth me. Then look in middle part of verse number 5. Says, I will avenge her. I will release her. I will give her, I will answer her, lest her continual coming, she wearieth me. The enemy let go. And then Jesus again says this in verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. He shall not, and shall not God avenge his own elect? Again, that is a parable that Jesus was saying. That is saying, you may not get the answer the first time you pray. You may not get the answer you're looking for the second time you're praying. You might not even get the answer the first year or the second year. And I'm talking faith right now. But brother, I believe, and sister, I believe that if we will remain faithful to God, that God will hear and God will answer prayer. And Lord, let this be more than just mere words from my lips tonight. Let it be what I believe in my heart, that God, every lost person that you know, every family member that you know, every family member that I know, I believe that God is going to hear and God is going to answer prayer and that God is going to deliver. Why? Because we're like this widow woman. Because God will revenge his own people. There's a scripture when I read through this again this evening in the book of Matthew chapter number 7. There's a scripture there that I wanted to look at. And in this scripture, we can see what Jesus, again, was teaching his disciples. And I love this because of the beauty of it. It says, ask and it shall be given you. Now, here's the thing. James says, you have not because you ask not. But James also says, you ask and you ask amiss. We've got to ask and pray according to his will. Not our selfish desires, not what we want, not what we desire. But even Jesus prayed that prayer, and Jesus proved that prayer over and over and over again. He said, Father, from the garden, Father, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. But this is a beautiful story again about seeking the Lord. And again, Jesus was saying this. Verse 7 says, ask and it shall be given. I want that tonight. I want to believe that. I want to hold on to that tonight. Whatever we ask, God, I know that you hear and I know that you answer prayer. I'm asking you by faith. I'm asking you through faith. And God, I'm asking you because your word says this. And I'm holding to you to the promises of your word. And he says, ask and it shall be given you. Ask. And then he says, seek. Seek God. Bobby taught me this verse. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Seek the Lord. Isaiah said, while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Jeremiah 29:13, you don't need to turn there. My verse. He says, seek me and you shall find me when you search for me with all of your heart. But seek God. Isn't it amazing how we seek out so many other things? Guilty. Guilty. But we need to take it to God in prayer that men ought to always pray and faint not. Again, this story that we're reading in our text, it's really a story of Jesus teaching his disciples how to pray and what they need to pray. To pray and not give up on prayer. To be consistent in prayer. Be persistent in prayer. That's what this whole thing is about in the upper part of it, is that the disciples was called to pray. To call upon the Lord while he is near. Call upon the Lord while he may be found. But he says in the scripture, verse 7, and this is what he said. And he said, and ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now look at this. Verse 8. He says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. We do hear God answer. But we may not always get the answer that we are expected. But God will answer prayer. When you begin to look at this again, when you see this, he says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh the door, the Bible says, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Again, it's like you and I petitioning God over and over and over. And the truth of the matter is, there's people in this room, myself included, you've been asking God for the same thing over and 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 over for years. And I'm going to be honest with you, sometimes it gets hard, don't it? Sometimes it gets hard. My granny, I don't know what age she was. I think she was 92 or 94 along through there. You know, I know that she would always have this system that she went through. And she would call her son's names. And I heard her do it at church. I'd hear her. She would call. And you know, she might not have ever seen all that to come to fruition when she was living. I was reading something the other day, and it actually said that there's prayers that you are praying right now. You and I, we may not ever see those prayers answered while we're still on planet Earth, but God hears those prayers. And God answers those prayers. Because we see this in the Word over and over again. Now, verse 9 is really a good verse because of what it says. He says, "Or what man is there among you whom if his son..." How many sons and daughters of God is in this room tonight? "If a son asks bread, will he give him stone?" A stone. "When you look at this, or he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent?" Look at this next verse. I love this verse. He says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts..." Don't raise your hand, but probably everybody in the room got at least a piece of bubble gum or something for Christmas. If it was from the heart, it's meaningful and it matters. "If we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children and to people around us..." Look at what he says. He says, "How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask?" And here we are in this church on a Sunday night, and all of us are wherever we're at in our spiritual walk. All of us are where we're at with our family. All of us are at a place, and here we are asking God, and we're saying, "God, avenge us. God, hear our prayer. God, answer us." And then we read these scriptures, and the Bible said that your Father in heaven... How many of you got a Father in heaven? He says, "Giveth good things to them that ask him." That is awesome. Verse 12 says, "Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do even unto them, for this is the law of the prophets." This scripture right here, we talk about the golden rule. The golden rule says, "Do unto others as you'd have others do unto you." That's not a Bible verse, but this one is. Because you do unto men as you would have men do unto you. That's why you got to treat people right. You got to love people. If you want love, you got to give love. If you want to be somebody to be kind to you, you got to be kind. You got to reciprocate that. But when we look at this, we see again where Jesus was talking about this. When we think about faith, again, I'm not going to take the time to go through every bit of this, but I'm going to mention a few things. Because when we think about faith this evening, Jesus is on a miracle campaign, if you will. And this miracle campaign is all the way through the book of Matthew, chapter number 8. When we look at Matthew chapter 8, we see that many events takes place. And we see where Jesus heals leprosy. But yet the next verse down in verse number 5, this is Matthew 8 and 5, we see Jesus entering into Capernaum. We see Jesus again on a crusade, if you will, sending his disciples out and him going with his disciples. He said, "There came unto him a centurion beseeching him," Roman soldier, we know that. And then this is the event that took place. And he came to Jesus and he said, "Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." And Jesus saith unto him, "I will come and heal him." Jesus is saying in a nutshell, "I'm on my way. I'll be right there." But this man, this centurion, answered and said unto Jesus, we see this, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." This man felt unclean. This man felt unworthy. This man recognized Jesus as the Messiah. They had already seen the other miracles that Jesus had done. And because they had seen the other miracles that Jesus had done, whether it's a man with leprosy and the different events that took place. Here we are in this verse, and this man is telling Jesus, oh, you don't even have to come to my house. All you got to do, Brother Steve, is speak the word. All he's got to do, as this man says, speak thy word only, and my servant shall be healed. He went on to say, for I am a man under authority and have soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed. Here this man is in a great position of authority. He knows the power of the spoken word because he says this to his leaders and those that's under his control. But he recognized that Jesus was under the control of the Heavenly Father. And all he had to do was to use the power and the authority of heaven, if you will. And when we look at this, he said, just speak the word. And Jesus comes back in verse 10, that latter part. And I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in all of Israel, or not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom. And then he talks about the rest of that. Those is cast into outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus saith unto the centurion, go your way. And as thou hast believed, so be it. So be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. That is a miracle, and that is a lasting faith. But all throughout the New Testament, we can see this, where that Jesus not only healed this centurion's family member, if you will, the one sick of the palsy and leprosy. We scan through the book of Matthew 8. We see that where Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. We see that where there was those that chose to follow Jesus and they left everything they had to follow him. They sacrificed it all. We see the calming of a storm. And Jesus even challenges them and he says, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith, to his disciples? Demon-possessed people are healed. And all of this was going on in Jesus' life at this time. Now here's where I'm going to shift a little. They all seen that. They saw Jesus' power and they saw the miracles that Jesus had done. You would think at that time they would have perfect faith. I mean, they witnessed this. And then Jesus, with these disciples out there on the storm, he comes back and he says, O ye of little faith. Here's what I want to say about that. If we get our eyes off of God, if we get our eyes on circumstances and situations around us, it seems like that our faith is reduced to just what mere mortal man can do and not the supernatural power of God. I was coming up the road in my truck on the way to church praying for people and family members in this service. And this is my desire, that God would absolutely, this is how I pray, that God would absolutely overtake each and every one of us in the sanctuary. That God would reveal himself truly for who the Bible says he is. And that God's glory would fill this place. That all of our doubts and all of our fears, if you will, would be replaced by the power and the anointing of God Almighty. But even his disciples struggled in their faith. How many of you know that? Some people, God bless you, you walk on water and you have angel wings. You never struggle. But for the rest of us, we're human. And it's every day that we have to put our trust in God. Give us this day our daily bread. And God designed it that way. Again, to reiterate that we walk by faith and not by sight. It's not always what you see that builds your confidence in God, but it's what you know in your heart. Now look at this scripture. We see this in the book of John, several verses of scripture. I'm not going to take the time to read it. I'm going to give you the scripture reference, but I'm not going to take the time to read all of it. You can go to John chapter 6. It picks it up in verse 60 and it goes all the way to 71. But this is when Jesus was there with his disciples, and Jesus had been teaching his disciples again that he's the bread that came down from heaven. As the bread came down in the Old Testament and they did eat manna from heaven, that Jesus is the bread that came down from heaven. And there are many that they could not make the connection between Jesus being that bread that came down from heaven. And they understood that it was a hard saying. And that's, we see that in the scripture. But when you look down a little bit, we see there around verse number 64, where Jesus said, "But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from that beginning who they were that believeth not and who should betray him. Jesus knew that. Not only Judas, but there are others that struggled in that arena. But verse 65 said, "And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of the Father." Revelation comes from God himself. Look in verse 66. The Bible said, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." Many of his disciples, he had 12, that inner circle, but there were lots of people around Jesus. And then he says there that many of them went back and walked no more with him. I don't want to go down this road right here too far, because I really didn't think about it till just then. But one of the things I remember as a young Christian, again, Pastor Dotson, he put a lot in me. Some of you don't even know who he is. Some of you do. But the scripture that talks about, and I'd have to turn over there and look it up and read it to you tonight. But it says that if we go back on God, if we backslide on God, the scripture makes a parallel on that. It's like a pig. Once she's being cleaned from the mire and being washed, that if she goes right back, she goes right back into the slop in the hog pen. He talks about a dog. And if a dog goes back, how many of you have ever witnessed a dog regurgitate? Boy, that's an awful thought. I got 3 dogs. I know they do that. Sherry asked me tonight, "Did that dog just throw up on that bed?" I said, "I don't know." She didn't. Just let you know, she didn't. That is not a sight you want to see, is it? I mean, they gross you out and they heave and then they spit up grass they ate 2 days ago on your carpet. Nasty. Pretty bad, ain't it? See, that's what God says, that once we come to him and we go back, it's like a sow returning to her mire, or it's like a dog returning to its vomit. But some of these disciples, they went back. What did they do? They lost their faith. They lost their way. And many, the next verse or two, we can see this in verse 67 forward, and Jesus actually asking the 12, "Will you also go away?" And here Peter is. Peter steps up in the next verse or two, and he said, "To whom shall we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life." And then again, Jesus tells him this in 69, and he says, "When you look at that, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Next verse and last verse. Jesus answered and said, "Have I not chosen 12, and then one of you is the devil?" Talking about Judas Iscariot. So he lost his way. He lost his faith. When you begin to look at the latter part of this scripture, in the scripture that really came to my mind, it says, when Jesus comes there in verse number 8, "I tell you that we will avenge them speedily, those that cry out to God day and night." Those that cry, and they're consistent, they're persistent, they don't grow weary in well-doing. By that I said this: you may not have your prayer answered as of yet, but that don't mean the prayer is not going to be answered. The book of Revelation oftentimes says, I think several times throughout the book of Revelation, it says these words, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." How many of you believe that Jesus is coming soon? He's coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. But here's the thing that I believe God wanted me to share tonight with you and us, is this last verse, verse 8, that when Jesus comes, will he find faith like this widow woman had? It's to be consistent and persistent and not grow weary in well-doing. Here's the scripture that I'm going to end on this evening. It's actually found over in the book of Matthew chapter 25, if I wrote it down correctly. And in this, we see where Jesus calls a man traveling into a far country. Verse 14, he says, he called his own servants, delivered unto them his goods, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to every man according to his servant's ability, and straightway took his journey. I'm going to read this, because if I don't read it, it's not going to make sense. And it says, and he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. He invested his life in the work of the Lord and doing the right thing. Likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. He was faithful. But there was one went and digged a hole in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of his servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, "Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents. This is why we can't grow weary in well-doing. This is why we can't quit. This is why we can't stop now. We've got to be faithful with what God's given us, whatever that is, whether it's a 5 talent or a 2 talent. But we can't take what God's given us and hide it for fear. Hello? And he says here, "And his Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Wow. "Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And also that, and he also that had received 2 talents came, and the Lord said, "Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them." And the Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." When Jesus comes, will Jesus find faith on the earth? Will he find his church being faithful? Or will he find us fearful over the unjust judge that fears not man or fears not God? We're always going to have, Brother Tim, an adversary. We're always going to have the devil to contend with. And I myself, my friend, I know the enemy. I know that he's going about as a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. I know what it means to gird up the loins of your mind and put on the armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles and the attacks of the devil. If there's a time that we've got to be intentional about living for God, it better be the day and the hour that we're living in. When Jesus comes back to this earth, will he look at you and will he look at me? Will he look at Thomasville Church of God? Will he say, "Well done, thou good and thou faithful servant"? Not going to turn there, but you can go in Matthew 24 and you can go to 25. 25 talks about the 10 virgins. Some were wise and some were foolish. Some that were ready, some that were not. Some prepared, unprepared. But yet when you look at that prophetic chapter of Matthew chapter 24, he talks about the persistency and the consistency of of being faithful even during those times of tribulation, those times of trial, those times that are maybe the beginning of sorrows. And my friend, I believe we very well could be in the beginning of sorrows. I don't know. But the Bible says there at the end, but they that endure to the end shall be saved. Friend, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. That one that was unfaithful, that one that took that one talent that he was so afraid, the Lord said in verse 30, way down at the bottom, he says, he took this unprofitable servant in the outer darkness where there was to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Friend, we don't like to talk about missing heaven, do we? We want everybody to tell us we're good. We want everybody to pump us up. We want everybody to tell us how good we are. We don't want anybody, a preacher included, telling us that if you're not right when the Lord calls his church home, you're not going. You've got to stay right every single day. Let me go back to this verse as you stand with me. Only you in this room can answer this question. I had to answer the question myself. When you look in our text again in Matthew 18 in verse number 8, Jesus again says that he will answer prayer. He will avenge them speedily. But nevertheless, when you look at this, when the Son of Man cometh, when Jesus comes, shall he find faith in him on earth? Father, I thank you for the word tonight, for your word is truth. Without you, Lord, we cannot do this thing at all. Because, Lord, I do know within our flesh we are weak. Within our flesh we can't do it. Within our flesh, Father, we'll fail. We'll falter. And Lord, we can't do this. But God, you see in the scripture that there was many that walked away. Many that left. Jesus even asked those disciples, will you also go away? And Peter, as Jesus was talking, and he said, well, Lord, where will we go? To whom shall we turn to? You got words of eternal life. And God, we can't turn to the banks. We can't turn to economics. We can't turn to philosophies. We can't turn to doctors and lawyers and psychiatrists and things like that. God, and these people have their place. But they're not going to get us into eternity. Only you, God, will get us into eternity. So, Father, touch every person in this room. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I want to ask you one question. I want to ask you this question tonight. And you're the only one that can answer this question. Not your neighbor, not your friends, but between you and God. Do you have your faith in Jesus Christ tonight? That if the rapture took place before you got back to your house, do you know without shadow of a doubt that you're rapture ready? If that's you, raise your hand. Say, Lord, I'm ready. Lord, I'm ready. If you can't answer that question tonight, my friend, the greatest advice I can give you tonight is before you put your head on your pillow tonight, say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of all of my sins. Lord, come into my heart and be my Savior. Come into my heart and forgive me of all my wrongs. Forgive me of all my evil. God, renew in me a right spirit. Wash me in your precious blood. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, in doing that, I will teach transgressors their ways, your ways. And Father, I pray this in the name of Jesus. When Jesus comes, will he find faith in the earth? Keep your faith. Don't grow weary. Keep your eyes on the prize, as Brother Dotson used to say. Keep your eyes focused Hey, Paul said, for the time of my departure is near at hand. I'm ready. I'm out of here, Paul was saying. He said, and there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not for me only, but for all of those that love his appearing. Hey, don't sacrifice your crown for the cheap things of this world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night. Amen. God bless you. We love you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.